Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family. And the standing between the living and the dead. Prayer, devotional, memorial service, family members worldwide. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the White House Daily Reading of the Chronological Bible, episode number 244, where I simply read the Holy Bible in the King James Version each day in chronological order, along with my family. I happen to be on the road today. We have been to three different cities today, and right now I am in Godley, Texas. And so I'm doing the podcast remote today. This unique viewpoint from the chronological Bible allows us to read the whole Bible as a single story and to see the unfolding of God's plan in history. Today we're reading Joshua chapter 12. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, hallowed be your name. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And Holy Father God, we're doing it a little bit differently today. And so, Lord, we look to you. We pray that you help us to do it in this different way today. And while we're on the road, thank you for granting us traveling mercies thus far. And we pray that you'll continue to do so. And Lord, we pray that you would still bless and anoint and unctionize me as I read your holy word, and your holy word as it is being read. And we pray for souls to be saved, Christians to be revived, and your holy name glorified. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, on this particular podcast, you will probably hear a little bit more background noise. Just ignore that and focus on the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, I have the high honor and the distinct privilege and the great pleasure to read in your hearing, thus saith the Lord, the Word of God, at Joshua chapter 12. Now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side Jordan toward the rising of the sun from the river Arnon unto Mount Hermon and all of the plain on the east. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon, and ruled from Aroer, which is upon the bank of the river Arnon, and from the middle of the river, and from half Gilead, even unto the river Jabbok, which is the border of the children of Ammon, and from the plain to the sea of Shinaroth on the east, and unto the sea of the plain, even the salt sea on the east, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and from the south under Ashdoth Pisgah, and the coast of Og, king of Bashan, which was of the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salcah, and in all Bashan, unto the border of the Geshurites, and reigned in Mount Hermon, and in Salcah, and in all Bashan, unto the border of the Geshurites, and the Maacathites, and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Them did Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel smite. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession unto the Reubenites, and the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. And these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel smote on this side Jordan, on the west from Belgad in the valley of Lebanon, even unto the Mount Halak that goeth up to Seir, which Joshua gave unto the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions. In the mountains, and in the valleys, and in the plains, and in the springs, and in the wilderness, and in the south country, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one. The king of Jerusalem, one. The king of Hebron, one. The king of Jarmuth, one. The king of Lachish, one. The king of Eglon, one. The king of Gezer, one. The king of Debir, one. The king of Gedor, one. The king of Homer, one. The king of Arad, one. The king of Libna, one. The king of Adullam, one. The king of Makeda, one. The king of Bethel, one. The king of Tapua, one. The king of Hepher, one. The king of Aphek, one. The king of Lashanran, one. The king of Madan, one. The king of Hazor, one. The king of Shemromiron, one. The king of Akshaph, one. The king of Tianakh, one. The king of Megiddo, one. The king of Kadesh, one. The king of Jokneam of Carmel, one. The king of Dor in the coast of Dor, one. The king of the nations of Gilgal, one. The king of Tirzah, one. All the kings, 30 and 1. shall we pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. And we pray that as we help us to think on it and to meditate on it, and help us to understand it even more and apply it to our own lives, and to share your holy word with others in a discipleship teaching way and in a preaching way as well. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray and forsake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, and to the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, and devotional, and memorial service family members. This is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society International, coming to you from off the road and on the road, having been to three cities today, and now we're in the city of Godly, and I'm doing the podcast from Godly. And we're doing it from the safest place in light of the coronavirus plague, and that is in my car. So the sound quality may not be as great today, as we are not in our studio, if you will, but we are elsewhere today. And so, beloved, this is Daniel White the Third with the Scripture and the Sense podcast, number 868, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book and the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. The aim of this podcast is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is our humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened and that the lost would come to know you as Savior by believing in Jesus Christ based upon His wonderful most important words, when He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, so that you will not perish in hell but go home to heaven to be with the Lord. Today, beloved, we are reading Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadarach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that you would, first I thank you for your holy word, and I thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit, and I thank you for your mercy and grace. Please forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, crucify our flesh and the old man within us, and fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit. And thank you, Lord, for leading me and others to pray. Give us understanding of your holy word and help us to apply it to our lives and to share with others in a discipleship way and to preach your holy gospel to those who don't know you as Savior. And so, in Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadarach and Damascus shall be the rest thereof when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. That was Zechariah chapter 9, verse 1. Now here is the sense of it, here is the understanding of it, along with the help of the Holy Ghost of God. We have the Matthew Henry commentary, which reads, the final division of the book consists of two oracles that look forward to the messianic king and kingdom. Chapters 9 to 11 refer, for the most part, to the first advent of Christ, stressing the theme of his rejection. Outlining Israel's prophetic history to the end times. Chapters 12 through 14 focus on Messiah's second advent and emphasize his enthronement as the commencement of the grand finale of Israel's history. These two oracles contain numerous passages which are counterparts to major themes of the eight visions, thus giving testimony to the unity of the entire book of Zechariah. The future prosperity of Israel in Jerusalem, first vision, chapter 1, verses 7 through 17, parallels chapter 10, verses 6 through 9 in the first oracle, and 12, 6 through 8, and 14:11 in the second oracle. The destruction of the nation, second vision, is reaffirmed in 9:1-8, first oracle, and in 12:1-6 and 14:1-3, second oracle. The divine protection and exaltation of Jerusalem, third vision, chapter 2, are further developed in 9:9-17, first oracle, and in 12:7-9 and 14:4-11, second oracle. The spiritual cleansing of Israel, fourth vision, chapter 3, is clarified in chapter 10, verses 2-3. First oracle, and in 12:10-14 and 14:8, second oracle. The divine enablement of Israel, fifth vision, chapter 4, is explained in chapter 10, verses 1-6, first oracle, and in 13:1-6. The destruction of the nation, second vision, 1:18-21, is reaffirmed in 9:1 through 8, first oracle, and in 12:1 through 6 and 14:1 through 3. Second oracle, the divine protection and exaltation of Jerusalem, third vision, chapter 2, are further developed in 9:9 through 17. First oracle, and in 12:7 through 9 and 14:4 through 11, second oracle, the spiritual cleansing of Israel, fourth vision, chapter 3, is clarified in chapter 10, verses 2 and 3, first oracle, and in 12:10 to 14. And 14:8, second oracle, the divine enablement of Israel, fifth vision, chapter 4, is explained in 10:1 through 6. First oracle, and in 13:1 through 6, second oracle, divine judgment on sinners, sixth vision, chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, is elaborated in chapter 11, first oracle, and in 13:7 through 9, and 14:12 through 15, second oracle, the removal of iniquity from the land of Israel, seventh vision, 5 through 11, results in a condition of holiness in Jerusalem and Judah. 14:20 and 21, second oracle. God's judgment on and rule of the whole world, eighth vision, chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, are reflected in 14:16 through 19, second oracle. The NIV regards the term as oracle, burden, KJV, as a heading separated from verse 1, which begins with the word of the Lord. The Hebrew word masa, oracle, is derived from the verb nasa, which has two meanings, to bear and to lift up. Though some translations and scholars have understood the word masa to mean burden, an ominous message of judgment which was borne by the prophetic messenger, the word is more likely based on the other nuance of the verb to lift up the voice. The noun is used this way, oracle, not burden, in Numbers 23:7, 24:3, 15 and 16. So the noun in Zechariah 9:1 and 12:1 should be translated oracle. What is lifted up by the voice, whether a threat or a promise? In this context, in Zechariah, the two oracles are primarily promises of salvation. Most conservative commentators regard chapter 9, verses 1 through 8 as a prophecy of the conquests of Alexander the Great throughout the area of Palestine after the Battle of Issus in 333 BC. Zechariah, living in the days of the Medo-Persian Empire, predicted the coming Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, and Israel's future in the last days. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our time together. A somewhat difficult time because of our circumstances on the road, and a difficult passage to deal with. We may deal with this again. So, Lord, bless your people anyhow. Thank you, Lord, for the people we have heard from, saying that the ministry is a blessing to them and how their lives are enriched. We give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray and forsake. Amen. I'm going to pause for a minute and take a little fresh air break. And this voice, you hear, will be mine. All right, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes. In keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead, prayer, memorial, and devotional service. That last section was a little bit rough because we're on the road today, as I told you, and the sound quality may not be as great today, but you can hear me. My producer tells me that you will be able to hear me, and some of you who are live will be able to hear me just fine. In keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service, Ephesians 6:4 is where we're going to read today, and as we continue to read what I call and what I have dubbed the family verses. And today God is speaking to, from the Word of God, fathers. And this would include mothers as a helpmeet to the father in raising the children. God wants it to be known, unlike the world and the devil has made it, the father is going to be held responsible for how the children are raised. He's not only the head of the wife, he's head of the children, he's head of the entire family, and God wants the father to know that. And if you don't raise them right, God's going to get you. You won't be able to shirk your responsibilities and blame your wife, the mother of your children. And today, by the way, I am in Godly, Texas. I'm in the right place. And in between the different, the last section of this podcast and this section, I took the liberty to take a nap. And I thank God that I got a good nap, and so I'm ready to go. Verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's how God wants you fathers to bring up your children. And you need to do your job. It's not about picking on your children and provoking your children to anger and wrath, and by playing favorites and talking about this is your favorite child, and not giving your children a peaceful environment to be raised in so that they can learn and grow and go on with their lives. You're in charge of that. By the way, if you have a bad wife and a bad mother, which many of you do, sad to say, but you can't call them that in your sweet little evangelical circles and sweet little Baptist circles and sweet little charismatic circles. But that's what they are. And they're always keeping up some mess, not keeping the house clean, not doing things in an orderly fashion. You tell her for me that this is important stuff. You tell her for me that she needs to do this consistently, or she needs to make sure that things are done consistently and faithfully for her family. That's your job, to make sure that she does what she's supposed to do, so that the children can have a good environment to grow up in. That's a tough job for many of you. but it must be done. And you can't do it, sir. Talking about I'm just going to be quiet to keep the peace. Well, you're putting your children in jeopardy when you do that. That's not peace, by the way. And they know it's not peace. And the worst thing in the world is to have a mother who does not love her children, does not care for her children, is mad all the time around her children, angry and frustrated, and she's the one picking on them, and then you don't stop her because you are afraid of her. Yes, I'm talking about the kind of woman who will use the children she does not love against you because you know you love those children. And she knows it. In fact, she knows that you love the children more than you love her because of her behavior. That ought not to be. But oftentimes it ends up that way. And so she'll use the children against you and hold them over your head to keep you under control. And if I were you, sir, I would never let a woman do that to me. Never. That's a way for them to beat you down and dominate you. Because she knows you love those children. You will move heaven and earth for those children. She knows it. So you give your children an even playing ground. That does not mean you have to treat all of your children the same, because you will have, if you have four children, you might have three angels and one devil. I'm just saying, don't get mad at me. Well, I don't think the children, they may not be a devil, but the devil is in them. I can assure you that, some of them. Okay. You're going to have to make sure that you don't, because you're going to have some children to challenge you big time, especially boys. Now, I've had a few children. I've had many children. God has blessed me with many children. And some have acted like angels almost, and some have acted like devils. That's just a fact. You can say, well, you're being mean all you want. I'm just telling you the truth. And I've had to whip some more than others. And that's just the truth. I've had to whip my boys more than the girls. And I've had to deal with my girls more in their teenage years. All fathers know girls can give you a run for your money in their teenage years. They change on you. They're going through a lot, I guess. But you can't get caught up with that, sir. You can't. You got to put your foot down, man, and keep the metal to the pedal, or the pedal to the metal. Yeah, you got to be a father. You can't be their buddy. You can't do that. She's not gonna like it, but you're gonna have to lovingly tell them what the truth is, your girls, and hold firm on it. Okay, otherwise you're gonna fail your daughters. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. This includes patting them on the back when they do well, and then whipping them on the butt when they do evil. Sin has to be dealt with. You can't let it go. God is holding you accountable. God is very interested in obedience. I had a thought the day while I was traveling, how that, you know, serving God, we hear people say they're serving God. Serving God is not just being saved. And all saved people know this. Serving God is not just going to church, man. Serving God ultimately is obedience to God all of the time. And God expects that. Jesus expects that. He died for sin. He's not interested in your sinning. All right. So, and when it's time to whip butts for evil, you need to step up and do that. You should be the disciplinarian. Thank God for the old women in the past. The older women in the past, the women of the past. We don't have women like this today. Just like we don't have men today like we used to. I heard about a preacher who, a man who died. He was going on 80 years old. He was a real black man, if you know what I mean. He was a man's man. That's real talk. He just died last week, I think. But we don't have men like that anymore in our society, and we don't have good women anymore in our society. And these women, they can't handle raising children, raising boys. And girls again, they're too busy trying to be cute, and we have too many men trying to be cute too, getting their nails done and other such foolishness. But anyway, I digress. Boy needs to see some hands that can hurt you if necessary. And some big old hands, some rough hands. My dad had big old rough hands. And we got a bunch of pretty boys today. But if you don't raise the children right, and that means step up, stop trying to be their friends. You're not their friends, parents. You are their parents. Doggone it. Act like parents. And that means you have to shift. Yes, you can go to Chuck E. Cheese and have a good time and play a game with them and so forth. I did all of that many, 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 many times. I loved it. Loved it. I loved it more than they did, probably. That's a fact. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed all that kind of stuff. But you got to learn how to shift when you need to shift. You can play time one time, that's fine. But now it's butt whipping time, because you're not doing what I have told you. Therefore, you're not doing what God told you. So, okay, you do what you want. But I'm telling you, it's gonna bite you in the butt later on if you don't take care of business in raising your children. My three children who are on their own, they have been nothing but a pure blessing to their father. They have honored their father. Listen, let me tell you what I mean by this now. They're in their 20s, and my three children have honored me I hate to say it, more than I have honored my own parents. I hate to say it, but I got to tell you the truth. I've honored my parents, but not as much as my three oldest children honored me. If they stopped honoring me the way they are honoring me now, I will be a happy man and a satisfied man, and just thankful to God I was able to raise those children the way I did. Because they're doing amazing things that I've never even heard of children doing before. And I mean that. I've never heard of it. I've never heard of children doing it. I have not told them to do it. They're doing stuff I've never even mentioned them doing. I never even put in their minds to do. But that's God blessing faithfulness in raising the children. And it was tough at times. Particularly when I didn't have much help from their mother. She was there, but everything she did, I had to make her do it. That makes it, it's like, you know, it's almost like raising 8 children. I raised 7 pretty much by myself. I'm not complaining. I'm not whining. It was a joy. It was a blessing. Now, and like I'm telling you, you got to learn how to shift. You know, because you want everything to work out wonderfully, lovely, peacefully, everything, all the time. But it's not that way. And sometimes you got to rise up to be a little bit ugly, if you know what I mean. You got to force yourself because you love the children so much. And you don't want to have to rebuke them. You don't want to have to tell them no. You don't want to have to whip their butts. But you got to, as a parent, rise up above all your feelings and your emotions. You hear what I'm saying to you? I'm on the way. So this is not going to be great quality, but this is great truth. Yeah, you got to, I cracked myself up several times because, particularly in dealing with my oldest son, and my old all my children, that, you know, I had to force myself to act like I'm mad or angry at them, you know, because I've never been angry or mad at them. I've been disappointed in some things they've done, but. I mean, you have to do it, man. I mean, you're not angry, you're not emotional about it, you're not upset, but you got to rise up to that kind of level to let them know that you don't want them doing what they did. Okay? That's just a reality, so. And by the way, don't wait to chastise your children or rebuke your children when you're angry. Don't do that. Don't be the kind of parent who blows up. Make sure you're under control, and that much of your blowing up kind of a thing that you got going on is acting. Because I'm not with parents whipping their children out of anger. In most cases, you can wait till the next day. Some cases, you got to deal with it right then. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's continue in keeping with the spirit of the standing between the living and the dead service. By praying for others. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the salvation of the lost. In our families, in our churches, in this country and around the globe. We pray for the revival of people who are saved, truly saved. In our families, in our churches, in this country and around the globe. We pray, Lord, for the healing of the sick in our families, in our churches, in our country, and around the globe. Lord, we pray that you would comfort those who are grieving in this country and around the globe. And Lord, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. And prepare all of us, Lord, for our days of trouble. We are no better than anybody else. You've been very good to us. But, Lord, we deserve chastisement and rebuke as well. As you well know, we do thank you for your mercy, love, and grace, and sparing us so many things down through the years. But Lord, prepare us for good days and bad days. Prepare us, Lord, for celebrations and tragedies. Prepare us, Lord, for weddings and funerals. Prepare us, Lord, for life and death. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who are hurting and suffering and grieving and mourning dead loved ones all around the world from the coronavirus plague. To the collapse of that building and many other things that are happening in our country and in this world. We pray now for the family and friends of Filipino priest Emmanuel Jadraki Jr. as we pray for some of these people who are mourning by name. We pray for the family and friends of North Dakota veteran Robert Lawson. We pray for the family and friends of Iowa dispatcher John Hare. We pray for the family and friends of British resident Rupert Liu. And we pray for the family and friends of Louisiana resident Mary Citizen. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for all people who name the name of Christ. Help us all to humble ourselves in this situation. Help us to pray. Help us to seek your face. Help us to turn from our wicked ways and get back to you, our first love, by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Holy Father God, we pray for all world leaders in the ministry of government. Save those who are lost. Revive those who are saved. Convict them of their sins, cast the demons of hell out of their lives, and lead God and direct them in leading the governments in the way that you want them to go. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And Holy Father God, we pray for all persecuted Christians in Nigeria, China, America, the Philippines, and other places around the world. We pray that you will comfort them, hear their prayers, deliver them, and protect them. Children who have been kidnapped, we pray that, Lord, they will be returned to their families safely. We praise you and we thank you for your holy word that says, you gave a parable to this end, that man ought always to pray and not to faint. Asking ye shall receive, seeking ye shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you. Pray without ceasing, pray always. And Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, for some prayer requests that have come in. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But we also pray, Lord, for Shante, for her sister to be healed, Mindy, for her small business to find success, for her husband's job to be blessed and protected, for their two daughters to be successful in their studies and work. We pray for Lucette in Texas, for her friend Bikash and his atheist friend to be saved. And Lord, we pray for all people who have trusted in Christ Jesus and who have believed in Christ Jesus. The many who have done so who are not on this short list. And we pray for these as well. We pray for everybody who has gotten saved through this ministry, through the preaching of the gospel. Help them to stand strong in the faith and grow in the faith. and never quit. Lord, we pray for Daisy, Razak, Victor, and Deshita. We pray for the people who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray for Judith, Elizabeth, Sosa, Abdullah, and John. And Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit these souls into your hands. Thank you for our time together. Let your will be done in each of our lives as you want it to be. Let your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, dear friend, if you are with us today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world," these are the words of Jesus Christ, "God so loved the world," that means that if you are in this world, God loves you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," God gave up his only begotten Son to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for your sins. He shed innocent blood on the cross for your sins because Jesus Christ never committed a sin in word, in thought, in attitude, or in deed. Yes, you can have a sinful attitude. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son up to suffer and to bleed and to die on the cross for our sins," however, our lies, our stealing, our lusting after people and things, coveting after people and things, what other people have, our disrespect and dishonor and disobedience and having bad attitudes towards our parents, our taking God's name in vain, and so many other sins. These are just five of the Ten Commandments. If we have broke one of them, we have broken the whole law according to the Bible. Jesus died for all of our wickedness and all of our sins. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, "that whosoever believeth in him," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. The word "believeth" means to trust in, to have faith in him, Jesus Christ, "should not perish," that is, you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life. So, dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ today so that you can be saved from the torments of hell. For the Bible teaches that once you die unsaved, if you die without believing in Christ, you will immediately wake up in the torments of hell. If you want to avoid that and wake up in heaven and in the arms of Jesus Christ, if you will, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ down here. For the Bible says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever, there's that word again, whosoever, anybody at any time, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's very simple to be saved, very easy to be saved, contrary to what people will tell you. You don't have to be in a church building to get saved. You don't have to join a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church to get saved. You don't have to shake the preacher's hand. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to walk down the aisle. You don't have to do anything to get saved but believe in Jesus Christ and call on his name and pray and ask him to save you. And he will do so, my beloved. If he did it for me, he'll do it for you. So believe in your heart. Only you can do that. That Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day.
pray with me the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have indeed committed some of those sins that were mentioned earlier by the preacher. And Holy Father God, I admit that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my crimes and sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. And Lord, I do not understand it all, but I thank you for it all. And I believe it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and to truly repent of my sins present, and to turn from my evil life and to follow you, Lord Jesus, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Holy Bible, that I just shared with you, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ Jesus, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 10 verse 9, and this is what the book title is based on: I am the door, Jesus Christ said. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.